The Babylon Project podcast was our last best hope for reruns. It failed. But in the year of the Shadow War, it became something greater. Our last best hope for fandom. The year is 2017. The place, the Babylon Project podcast.
John Sheridan, Babylon 5. You are
listening to the Babylon Project podcast.
Hello there, Babylon 5 fans. Welcome to, well, I don't want to say an exciting episode of the Babylon Project. I guess I could. We're not going to be talking about a Babylon 5 episode today. We're going to be talking about a whole lot of Babylon 5 episodes today because we are doing a mid-season feedback episode. We have a ton of comments from a variety of sources, whether Facebook, webpage, emails, and we wanted to give you guys your due to get your comments out there. You've spent a lot of time listening to Jim, JP, and I ramble our thoughts out, so we'll let you give your thoughts back, and we'll go ahead and make some responses where there's questions and thank yous where there's thank yous. And joining me tonight are Jim Arrowood and J.P. Harvey. How are you tonight, gentlemen?
I'm great.
Doing great as well.
Yep. And this is, I guess, coming in, we can call this a Christmas present for our Bab 5 listeners, huh?
Sure, right. Why not?
All right. Or Hanukkah. I know it's in the middle of Hanukkah at this point. So, well, how have you guys been?
Oh, pretty good. On break now for holiday break for from school. That's the upside.
Teaching, not attending, right?
Yep, that's the upside. The downside is in about 5 days, I turn 60.
That makes you the patriarch of the podcast, right?
Yep. And just for the record, in 5 days, I will not turn 60.
Nor will I.
Boo.
Maybe our editor can pop in a rim shot there for us.
Ba-doom-doom.
Right, Troy? What you been up to, JP?
Just working. End of the year for us. Calendar year is the end of our fiscal year, so a lot of the end of the year things and trying to get everybody to wrap their projects up as best they can and enjoy time off, including me. Yep. I would like that.
I am off the last 2 weeks of the year, so I've been doing a little sleep catch-up, shall we say, and got a ton of things to take care of from home.
Probably the biggest stressor this time of the year, maybe true with you guys as well, or the listeners, is all the stuff that's been ordered for Christmas as opposed to bought locally that isn't here yet.
We actually got pretty lucky there. We didn't have a lot of stuff ordered out from outside. Our stressor from it is, let's just say I've got an expensive child. This is a 14-year-old boy, if you know anything about golf, who is calling it a bad day if he shoots a 9-hole round in the 40s. He's usually shooting in the 30s, if not close to par. So you're talking a 14-year-old kid who, on a bad day, is still shooting under 90.
Oh, I know just enough about golf to stay the hell away from it.
Same here. Unfortunately, he's outgrown And I don't mean size-wise, I mean skill-wise. He's outgrown his putter and his wedge. So I can say that here. He won't hear this in time to have his Christmas ruined. So
he doesn't know that he outgrew his putter and wedge?
Oh, he knows he outgrew it. He was the one who's been telling us, but oh gosh. I wish this kid would find some less expensive pastimes.
Or some that pay better, one or the other.
Actually, to his credit, he's actually wanting to go pro in golf now.
Oh, well,
and
you know,
apparently he is good enough to do that.
Yeah.
But he's wanting to be a mechanical engineer as a backup.
Ah.
Or an engineer of some sort.
Well, he could always podcast. I mean, we're getting rich off of that, right?
Yeah. Ooh. Cha-ching.
Yeah.
But he, that way he can design golf clubs.
Oh.
Anyway, I'm going to steal your line, Jim. This isn't the Golf Channel podcast,
right,
is it? Right.
I'll loan it to you for the moment.
Uh-huh. Well, before we get into a lot of the actual feedback, we do have a couple of shout-outs to make. I do want to make a shout-out specifically to the Babylon 5 Reddit. If you happen to frequent Reddit, there is a nice little Babylon 5 subreddit. And /ubrakiri, in fact, added one of the mods, added us to their sidebar. So we're in their sidebar list right there with JMS News and Lurker's Guide and the Bab 5 Wikipedia.
Awesome.
Lists us as a terrific podcast.
Wow.
Jim, any particular shout outs for you?
Well,
before we get going,
It was pointed out to me by Troy, as a matter of fact, that we do have an iTunes review, a 4-star review from Yeti Skunk Ape. And he says, an episode-by-episode review is good, clean Babylon 5 fun. So, hey, thank you, Yeti, whomever you may actually be. But in any case, we do appreciate that. And if anybody else would like to leave us a review, 4 or 5 stars, or if you don't think we deserve that many, that's, of course, all well and good. Please pop over to iTunes and do that. We'd be nice to get up there on the listener list and keep recording shows and good stuff like that.
You know, and the thing to note, the more positive reviews we get, the easier it is for other listeners to find the show. It kind of helps bubble it up. So, and when you're a niche show, you know, Babylon 5, 25-year-old television series, every little review helps.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what do we want to look at first here? Facebook feedback?
Sure, we have a number of feedback items, and I have them organized by episode. And I'll take the first one, and then you guys can take subsequent ones. The first episode of the third season, a person named Stephen Test said, the Rangers were always my favorite piece of the Babylon 5 universe. I just wish they had the chance to do more with them. The biggest flaw, I thought, was giving them the wonderful Minbari fighting pikes for staff fighting, but never really given them an opponent to compare with comparable weaponry for some over-the-top dueling scenes.
That
comments?
That would be pretty cool.
That would definitely be cool. You know, he's right. Aside from Marcus wumping up on some lurkers down below, the only real, shall we say, over-the-top dueling scene with Minbari fighting pike is the one redeeming quality of Gray 17 is missing. Marcus and Naroon go after each other.
Yeah, that one is epic.
Indeed. And Steven, trust us, Jim, JP, and I all love that episode. At least that side of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
The missing Grey 17 part, maybe not so much, but we'll have a lot of positives to say there. Mm.
Okay, Raul, why don't you take the next one from Carrie Williams?
All righty. Carrie Ellen Williams says about episode 2, Convictions, "This is my favorite episode of the series. Not only for the hilarious elevator scene, but because I love the scene with Londo and a comatose Lanier. I've been trying to deny my feelings for Londo after Jakar was stripped of his position, but after the med lab scene, I knew I couldn't. Though I hate what Londo got himself involved in, I love him, and I wish I could save the good person he could be from all the evil he gave in to. Comments, gents?"
That's been the episodes running up to, running through this season, we do get to see Londo really fall hard. So it is sort of a sad story. I can't say I have feelings for Londo, though. I don't think I'd go that far.
Yeah, I do have feelings for Londo. I like the guy, and it is very tragic what he's gotten himself into. He tries to get himself back out of it and then is tricked back into going back to the dark side, if we can say that. But I'll tell you what, he didn't have a whole lot of interaction with Bill Mumy on the show, but the interaction that Londo and Lanier had together was some of the greatest stuff on television.
Yeah. I will say I as a character, I love Jakar a lot more than Londo. Londo seems to go back and forth from being a punk to being a guy that, just as Carrie said, would wish I could redeem him, right? Wish I could save him. Jakar just seems to be pathetic at the start of the series and really gradually just morphs and changes into a character that I remember looking back on at the end and thinking, how could I have ever disliked this guy? But two interesting characters. They make up a huge part of the show for me, those two and their interactions.
Well, I one of the things I have described the series as is the tragedy of Londo Mollari.
Yeah.
So it's hard not to get into the guy. And all I can say, I don't know if you're doing a rewatch with us, Carrie, or if you are new to the show, but oh my gosh, wait till season 5. I know a lot of people diss season 5, but Londo's arc, the ending of his arc, yeah, you will definitely, what the good person does to save himself from all the evil that he gave into, is heart-wrenching. And I don't know if you have read the Legion of Fire trilogy, the Centauri trilogy of books. It's canon, and that gives you the whole picture there. So if you're a big Londo fan and Londo Jakar fan, you want to try and find a copy of that to read. JP, why don't you go ahead and take the next one?
Yeah, the next comment we have is also from Convictions, second episode of the season, from Evelyn Raymond. Evelyn wrote into us, "Finally got a chance to listen to this episode this morning. Great episode as usual, but as to the question of Bill Mumy keeping a straight face while Londo was talking to him, the reason for that is that it wasn't actually Bill, but a mock-up of him, as he had lost his father during the filming of that episode. So they used the mock-up for the scene where Londo was talking to him in MedLab. I saw a vid on YouTube of Bill talking about this at one of the conversations, I think it's probably conventions. It was also mentioned on IMDb for this episode." And that was Evelyn.
And JP?
Mm-hmm.
Listener SPH also sent us a comment on the same thing, and I'll just go ahead and read that. "Funny you should mention how Bill Mumy kept his cool when Londo was talking next to him. Well, it wasn't Bill Mumy, but a doll and a fake head. Bill had just spent months at the hospital, and his father had died only days before shooting the episode, so he wasn't comfortable with the scene."
Right. Good catch by the listeners.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. A very good catch.
Yes.
I'm embarrassed to say I wasn't aware of that one.
Yeah, I didn't know. It explains a lot.
And that's why I love our listeners.
Bill's probably a good enough actor to pull that off, right? But in this case, it was a mannequin.
Yeah. Sad reasonings for that, but yeah. I guess our next feedback is from Passing Through Gethsemane.
Yeah. My friend down in South Carolina, Joe Fuller, says, as far as Passing Through Gethsemane is concerned, I have always loved this episode of Babylon 5. And Raul, I believe you responded to that.
That it was always a fan favorite.
That it is a fan favorite. So.
Yeah, and then if I can pick up on that one, I think Jeremiah Tukadra was commenting on that same episode and said, I thought this one was a bit slow, but upon a couple of rewatches, it really stands up and delivers.
And yes, it is a slower episode. It's not fast paced. It's slow in the way of not a lot of action, but there is a real intense journey in the mind. And it does a lot in the time and really makes you think.
Yeah, I like those kinds of episodes. I like the slow, quiet episodes that you have to really pay attention to get the message.
Yep. And just as a side comment, one of the things that gets me frustrated about a lot of movies today is they are so much about the action that they really don't give you time to think. And they really don't challenge you to think.
Well, and I've also noted in some of my blog posts that there's way too much action in movies now. I mean, the Marvel movies, there's so much going on that you have to watch it two or three times to pick up on everything. And the camera angles are so darn close that you can't really see what's going on anyway.
Right.
While I love those movies and I really appreciate them, I think there could be improvements made. But this is what audience wants these days.
I don't know. Is that what they want, or is that what the studio thinks they want, and that's what they just keep delivering?
I'll tell you what, is if they're selling tickets, that's what they're going to make.
I guarantee they're just making... It's a matter of getting a studio to actually take a chance on something else. Here's an example, though, of what we're talking about. I challenge people, two movies to go back and rewatch. Blade Runner, supposedly Harrison Ford action flick, right? It has the way it runs the pacing. Or if you want to get something that's really almost, if you would think of it almost as mindless violence, go rewatch Escape from New York. Heck, even since we're at the time of the season, the world's best Christmas movie, Die Hard.
Gremlins.
Die Hard. I'll give Gremlins a very close second, though. We haven't watched that one yet.
I'll tell you what, Gremlins did better in the theater, at least in my theater, than Die Hard did.
Well, the problem with Die Hard was it was a Christmas movie. And folks, I know that a lot of people like to argue about it, but if you listen to the commentary on the disc, even the producer says, but it was a summer blockbuster. It wasn't released at Christmas time.
Which Gremlins was.
So, right. But anyway, look at some of those older movies and the pace. It's not. It does exactly what you're talking about, Jim. It's not one explosion to the next. You actually have some time to catch your breath. And even Escape from New York makes you think about things.
Oh, yeah. That's a fun movie.
Yeah.
But this is not the Escape from New York podcast.
Yeah, again. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and move on. We do have one webpage. We do have another message from Dallas Nostromo about Passing Through Gethsemane. He writes, really enjoyed your in-depth conversation regarding the religious implications of Passing Through Gethsemane episode. This is one of my favorites, as I've always enjoyed Brad Dourif's performance. Keep up the good work, gentlemen. Well, we're definitely trying on that.
That's our aim. And Brad Dourif, as I think I've mentioned before, is brilliant in everything he's in.
Yes, Dallas, we completely agree with you there.
Yeah, I have never seen a role that he has played that hasn't been authentic and compelling in some way.
Mm-hmm. JP, do you want to go ahead and take our next one?
Yep, the next one, moving on to 305, episode 5.
That's Voices of Authority.
Yes, came in from Andrew Laidlaw, and he says, would have been nice if Drawl and the Machine had featured more in B5, but I guess that'll be just the one of many loose threads that didn't get tied up toward the end. You're thinking hard, Raoul, I can tell.
While I would love to have seen more of Drawl and the Great Machine, I would almost say that it's still there. It's still a vast repository of knowledge. But the loose threads, later in this season, we will find get more or less tied up. The closed circle. He's going back to the beginning.
Right.
I think is the phrase that comes to mind. And keep an ear out for us. When we get a little bit later in the season, we'll be talking a little bit about this.
And that's pretty exciting stuff. I don't know if Andrew will be content that all the threads are tied up, but there is a lot more that comes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you know, as far as Drawl and the Machine are concerned, if every time there was a crisis, the station put in a call to Drawl to come and save them and solve their problems for them, the show wouldn't have been near what it was.
Right.
It was about human beings and other corporeal species making sure that the galaxy was made a safe place for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Hear, hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dallas wrote in on this episode and said, now I'm curious what you guys would be like if you reviewed an episode while drinking iced Earl Grey. Maybe not so chipper?
No way.
Oh, wait.
Iced.
I remember
good,
that.
Good. Iced Earl Grey. I've never tried it, but I have, after sitting here for a while and my cup gets emptier and emptier and colder, there's nothing quite as repulsive as a sip of Earl Grey cold.
I don't know why Picard specifies hot for it, because there is no other way. I have tried iced tea made with Earl Grey. Don't do it.
Terrible. I thought it's in the bylaws or something, isn't it, somewhere? It says you can't do that. You're not supposed to do that, right?
Right.
I go along with that. Well, why don't I take the next one? And this is on episode 306, Dust to Dust, from Tara Carter. JMS had a habit of noticing real-life strengths and chemistry of actors and writing those things into his characters.
That is true.
Couldn't say it better.
Yeah.
I think that's the mark of good sci-fi, though, right? You know, one of the beauties of science fiction is taking the real world, putting it into an environment, real people, or especially flaws, right? Flaws. It's a venue that you can do social commentary without it being in somebody's face. And a master of the genre ought to be, like JMS, ought to be really good at taking real life strengths and chemistry and problems and all of that. And this guy did it. I think that's why this show is as good as it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think, an example of what Tara's saying here, late delivery of from Avalon. I thought he actually had Michael York and Lyon in mind when he was writing the episode. Now I could be dead wrong, but it, you know, either way, it's a case of what she's referring to.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep.
Why don't you take Steven's remark on this one?
Okay. Marcus, Steven Test writes, Marcus was actually my favorite character. This is Raoul speaking here inside, so it was of many. I always wanted to see more with the Rangers. I just wish they'd have come up with some opposition to justify some better choreographed Pike fight scenes. They missed out there, but that might have been due to budget.
Ah, another fighting Pike fan there.
Yep.
It's a cool weapon. Or as we call it in the martial arts school, all weapons, not just pikes or bow staffs. We call them safety tools.
and you enter into aggressive negotiations with them.
Right. Right. It's for my safety, not yours.
Yeah.
It's a walking stick. Yeah. That's
well,
all.
On the email on this same episode, Dallas Nostromo again, you get the impression this guy might be an Alien fan.
Yeah. That is a rocking last name in air quotes, right? Excellent.
Oh, yeah. At any rate.
Ooh, you know, I've had the itch to rewatch that. Go ahead.
At any rate, Dallas writes to us and says, I love Dust to Dust. All the episodes with Bester are good, but this is one of my favorites. Wouldn't it be cool if you could go back in time with Walter Koenig and create a Babylon 5 spinoff series on Netflix starring Bester? I read the trilogy of books about Bester and really enjoyed them, especially the third one. Keep up the good work, guys. And that's from Dallas on our email. And we are endeavoring to keep up the good work. Thank you.
Yeah. And you know, not saving it for the end of the episode, Dallas seems to be a regular commenter, so I take it he's also an avid listener to the podcast. So thanks, Dallas, because you're giving us some of your time. Apparently pretty often, which, you know, we appreciate. And then you're taking time to give us feedback, which we also appreciate.
Yeah.
And Dallas, I can tell you now, we are planning to do shows over, and you've heard me mention earlier, the Centauri trilogy. We will also definitely be doing the Psycor trilogy of books. I don't think Jim or JP have read those.
Not the Psycor ones, no.
Yeah, I haven't either.
And just for the record, we'll probably be doing the Technomage trilogy as well. That's also canonical. Mm.
Excellent.
But yeah, anything with Bester in it is just great material. It's fantastic stuff. Mm-hmm.
So that was 306, and
right.
We've also got Dallas? We have another comment from Dallas on Exogenesis 307.
I'll go ahead and take this one, because Jim's going to be answering it. Dallas writes, "Did you ever see that Star Trek Next Generation season 1 episode where small creatures crawl inside the mouths of their victims and attach themselves to their spinal cords? They infect several high-ranking members of Starfleet in an attempt to take over. Anyway, the creatures in Exogenesis remind me of those, only they're larger and nicer in Babylon 5.
Larger and nicer.
Yes, the episode that he refers to is called Conspiracy. And apparently our part of the galaxy was being invaded by some very small but intelligent creatures. Got into a character that didn't really endear himself to audiences, a guy named Remick. And they supposedly got a signal out to their fellows. But there was never really a follow-up episode, or I shouldn't say really, there was not a follow-up episode to it, and it was kind of expected. But at any rate, this is not the Next Generation podcast. But yes, I do remember that. And as Dallas says, the creatures there were, in that one, were quite a bit more malicious than this one. They didn't offer all the benefits that the Exogenesis creatures did.
Right. And I suspect they weren't trying to preserve knowledge.
No, they just wanted to take over.
Did you call those benefits,
and I'm
going to
just... I am going to toss in, Dallas also sent us a note on Messages from Earth, episode 308. And he comments that, "I really enjoy it when you guys add sound bites to your podcast. It makes the show come alive." Yeah, that's why we do it.
We'd like to hear it if we were listeners, right?
Yeah. And the sound bites generally, a lot of times, can do way more justice to what the point we're trying to make than us trying to tell you about it. So,
indeed. Sometimes they speak for themselves.
Yes.
Okay, would one of you guys like to take the first feedback for Point of No Return, episode 309?
Episode that I think the whole season is named after. This is from Marie Posa, and she said,
"Butterfly." Butterfly. Mariposa.
I see what. All right. I feel like the slow guy. I bought the complete 5 seasons DVDs when they came out, and it was expensive, but I've never regretted the purchase. I've watched and rewatched the entire collection many times. I never get tired of it. The stories were fantastic, the actors were great, and the costumes looked simply royal. I loved this series. Too bad it lasted only 5 seasons.
I can't add anything to that. I mean, all of that is absolutely perfect.
yeah, it sums it up. It's a shame it only lasted 5, but oh god, I would rather they do 5 and really tell a great story than do what some of these series do and just drag it on and drag it on until it dies away.
Well, wasn't it actually supposed to end at season 4?
No, it was originally planned for 5 seasons, and there was a fear of cancellation at season 4, and we'll talk about this again, obviously, but they had filmed Sleeping in the Light, the series finale, and season 4 was shot in a way that they could have dropped that in and done a quick closeout, and getting renewed, they had to come up with something else, and we got the season finale of season 4 done the way it was, and then kicked us over into season 5, got to fill in the rest of the story, and then take us to Sleeping in the Light. And I know that's vague, but it's vague by intent, because we've got 3 episodes coming up to talk about this part.
Also, the same episode, Jerry Masters wrote in on Facebook, "Majel Barrett Roddenberry's appearance was something she apparently asked to do. At that time, there were a number of trolls going around doing their best to incite fighting between Trek fandom and B5 fandom. Barrett apparently found that very distasteful and thought that doing a guest shot on the show would go a long way towards killing that idea. She felt that most people would be much happier being fans of both shows rather than fighting for some sort of dominance. Jerry, if this were a perfect world, that would work. But unfortunately, in this age of fandom, that's not going to happen, because no matter what you do, if you like something, somebody's going to come along and they're going to throw dirt on it, and sometimes even get personal and throw dirt on the other person for liking something. It's a sad thing, but it is a fact of fandom.
I take it from Jerry's comments that he is a fan of both. I'm a fan of both. We're out there, and I don't think we should let the trolls be the ones that get to dictate the conversation.
Well, more often than not, if they show up on my blog, if they show up on my blog and start ranting about something, I pretty well ignore it. You know, if they have a valid point, I'll answer it, but not if they're just throwing dirt. And then on Facebook, if they put it there, I let it go. I don't comment on it unless it's vulgar, in which case I delete it. So,
to which both JP and I say,
thank you. You know, my preference is that We're all fans of science fiction. We're all fans of good science fiction. And some people are going to like some things better than others. You know what? That's really okay.
Right. The world would be boring if we all liked exactly the same thing and disliked exactly the same things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jim, I think you said it as best as it could be.
Well, thank you.
I'll go ahead and take another one here. JP, this is for you. This is from listener Trev, and he writes, the conversation to explain military chain of command with someone who can explain protocol was very informative. I shared this show on my Babylon 5 Facebook group, and that Facebook group is The Last Best Place B5.
That's awesome.
JP, JP, JP. Stand up and take a bow, JP. You earned it.
Virtual bow.
Just don't thump your head on the mic.
Hey, Trev, thanks for the support. As a new guy to the show, it's nice to know that those little inputs from my technical past, my career, basically actually mean something to some of the listeners, and it's not just interesting side commentary for me. So, yeah, thanks so much, Trev.
All right, and back on the Facebook side of things, Tony Branch comments on this episode. I always make sure to allot enough time to be able to watch the trilogy of Messages from Earth, Point of No Return, and Severed Dreams all at once. They certainly form a nearly seamless flow together. And, oh boy, is that ever a true statement.
Very true and by intent. I'll be honest. I actually watched it for our podcast. In addition to watching the three episodes individually, I did Messages from Earth, all three of them together once with my Messages from Earth notes, and then I did it again on Severed Dreams for the ending.
And I'd say to Tony, when you say I always make sure to allot enough time to watch those three episodes, you, sir, must be a super fan. It makes me want to ask you, how often do you watch the series, or the season at least? You sound like you are an all-in kind of guy on this show, which we love.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Severed Dreams, and I'm going to take this one. This was a very interesting exchange, which did go on farther, but I didn't follow it all. But it brought something to light that I think is kind of neat. Tara Carter, once again, comments on Facebook about Severed Dreams is my all-time favorite B5 episode, which is saying something because of my now husband wasn't even in it. Delenn is my other favorite character besides Marcus, and Mira does an absolutely amazing performance in this episode. Hmm. Now, responding to that, Jan Schroeder of the Zocalo Today, by the way, which is a Facebook page which very graciously allows us to advertise our shows on and post links.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And to all the other ones, too. There's a whole pile of them out there. She asks, would your now husband happen to be named Jason? And Tara Carter answers with a big smiley face. So I have a sneaking suspicion, because I guess he did get recently remarried, Jason Carter did, and is living down south. So we may have Tara Carter, Mrs. Jason Carter, as one of our listeners, and that would be really neat. And please continue to chime in any and all the time.
Wow.
Mike Nasser responded, science fiction hell in television, period. I have no clue what that means. Ton DeWitt, I think you would say it, a great episode every time I watch it, still gives me the shivers when Hiroshi rams the other ship.
Amen.
David Daniels, yes, this was my favorite episode and one of the best. And Bonnie Davis Chiaccio, I guess, so well acted and prophetic. And if I butchered your name, Bonnie, I am very sorry.
Yeah, those kind of are just a batch of comments that recently came in on Severed Dreams. And yep, just the explanation, science fiction hell in television, period, is saying it just rocked.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll second that then.
Yeah.
I am going to go ahead and take this next one. It's a bit long. This is a call out to Big Brother that I had mentioned earlier. First of all, thank you again. The Severed Dreams episode had a bad link, had some bad linkage. So at first people might not have seen the actual audio for it. It wouldn't have affected the people getting the show from iTunes. So he's one who caught it. And first of all, thank you for that. Then he also writes to us about the rank system. Earth Force is not the U.S. military, nor is it the German or Russian military. So they are no more obligated to not mix traditional American Army and Navy ranks than they are to not mix in Unterfreisers and Strashina 300 years in the future. I'd be surprised if the rank system hadn't changed and evolved. Let's go ahead and just take a break there and get some comments. My first comment is, didn't JP kind of point that out, something like that out to us in season one in his first appearance? Or was it in Gropos?
Yeah, I think it was in Gropos. And I agree with the comment, but I'll add this in. I use the American, and to a great extent, our current allies rank structures just as a point of reference. And it's still works pretty well. Babylon 5 does something that a lot of sci-fi does, which is they seem to, you know, some traditional sci-fi, if you're out in space and their ships, they have a navy kind of structure and they use a lot of the same ranks that we would use in the modern today's navy in the real world and historic navies. Sometimes you get space marines, right, like aliens, and that generally follows Earth. Modern Earth and a lot, again, the U.S. or our allied military structures. And you get these mashups, which to some extent you see on B5 as well. So it doesn't trouble me. And I think it's a good observation to make that there'll be these deviations from what we have today. That's okay. All that said, the rank structure that we have today is, I would think if I was a writer, which I'm not, giving people something that's rooted in the U.S. military or the German or the Russian military or Earth militaries historically gives a structure, puts a structure in place that a lot of people will be able to identify with. But right on. Yeah, the rank system, we talked about it with Garibaldi, in fact, as I'm talking through this. Yeah. And Is he a senior civilian that's got some sort of authority based on position? Is he a warrant officer, which in our military we call Mister? You know, colonels and captains and lieutenants and sergeants and chief petty officers and all that. And then there's these warrant officers that are just Misters. Maybe he's one of those. But yeah, I remember that discussion. You're right, and I don't think it frustrates me or anyone on the podcast. I hope it doesn't frustrate any listeners that there are those odd differences that are in there. It's okay.
And as he points out, it is 300 years in the future.
Right.
So it's easily excused.
And I don't know if that was something we said that he might have worried. We thought that there was an issue with it changing or evolving. There's not. We were just trying to build, fill in a piece of the story that wasn't necessarily clear, and I hope we did that pretty well. It all worked out okay in my mind. Yeah,
it was a fun discussion. Continuing on, also consider this, just as tiny nations like Caribbean island nations may have much smaller militaries than the big ones like the USA or UK, and thus may have senior most rank be the equivalent of a captain or colonel rather than a four-star general, really huge militaries might need some rank levels than the current U.S. system has. Remember that the United States is a tiny part of the Earth Alliance, which includes several other planets in addition to the entire population of Earth. With a population measured in tens of billions of people rather than hundreds of millions, they probably have a military that is also an order of magnitude or two larger than the U.S. and than the present-day U.S. military. They may need more levels of rank to provide enough levels of rank to have the needed number of levels on the organizational chart. So they may insert major or colonel in between captain and admiral slash general in some the way some navies insert commodore there.
Yeah.
His comment here, I think, is really good. And as for General Haig and Major Ryan, remember that as a member of the Joint Chiefs, he is probably not the captain of his flagship. Granted, he's equivalent to a fleet admiral in charge not of one individual ship, but of many. Thus, he'd have a flag captain who is the actual captain of his flagship, running the flagship's day-to-day operations and fighting it as an individual ship in combat, while the general/admiral commands the fleet or task force as a combined unit. In the special circumstances of their coup/rebellion, his aide or executive officer or chief of staff, Major Ryan, might indeed take over for him as commander of the fleet or task force and might end up wearing two hats and also being effectively the flag captain of his own flagship, especially if the actual flag captain is also killed or wounded in combat or refused to go along with the coup and resigned in protest.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. That's another one of those cases where what they did worked for the story, for me. But to me, it was a noteworthy deviation from what I talked about in my first response at the beginning there, which is our structure is a point of reference and departure. But I remember talking about him.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I moved on. It didn't hurt the story. It was just an oddity to me.
Mm-hmm. But it's one of the fun things. It's one of the fun things to discuss, just trying to get our brain around the structure.
So the military fans and the military folks that are fans of the military, I guess what I'm trying to say, and military fans of the show can geek out on that stuff just like you can do that on all kinds of things in the show on related to technology or international relations, I guess, interplanetary relations or interracial relations. Yeah, it's fun stuff to talk about, but the big takeaway, I think, for anybody that listens to this is what they did in the show with the major didn't hurt the story to me. It was just a neat thing to
talk
about.
Not at all. DeLynn5 also noted to us that Rance Howard was Ron Howard's father and has recently died.
Right.
Yeah, that was just like in the last couple months, really.
Yeah, recently. That was in reference to a question that you asked me of if Rance Howard was related to Ron Howard at all. And at the time, I don't know why I blanked and said I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for setting us straight on that.
Right.
Well, who wants to take this next one?
Go ahead, JP.
From SPH.
Right, SPH writes, finally got around to listening to the episode, and I have a couple of comments. First of all, the third voice is an excellent addition to the discussion.
And agreed.
Yeah.
JP.
Yep, that's you, JP.
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 I appreciate
JP.
It.
JP.
I don't like my own voice, but I'm glad.
Well, you'll get used to it.
And then he continues, SPH continues, and yes, Rance Howard was indeed Ron and Clint Howard's father and passed away just last month at the age of 89. Yeah. The zoom pull camera effect has many names, but the one I'm most familiar with is Vertigo Zoom. The effect was first used in Alfred Hitchcock's Vertigo. It also seems to be a favorite of director David Eagle, who used it in about 3 Babylon 5 episodes. So keep an eye on it whenever he's directing. All right.
Okay. Has anyone here ever gone to Universal Studios Hollywood?
No.
I have not.
All right. They actually did something similar with that. They have like a behind the behind the magic sort of section. There's like three-part sections, and that was one of the camera things that they kind of pulled with when he's falling from the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
Troy's anyway. Been there.
So, I think that's in the bylaws too, right? Troy had to have been there. So SPH continues, and this was, I really like this part of the comment. I hope you have seen the famous blooper take of Major Ryan telling where General Haig really is. Unfortunately, the short blooper clips on DVDs miss a lot of classics from the full reels, which are about 15 minutes for every season, but can be found on YouTube.
Okay, I've got to say thank you to SPH because I had not seen that one.
I hadn't either.
Jim?
Yeah, that's queued up and ready to go here.
We're going to play it for y'all.
I've never seen it before, but it's pretty hilarious.
Where's General Haig?
General Haig is doing Deep Space Nine. It seems he was double booked by his agent and there was nothing to be done. So it'll have to do with me, sir.
Yes, sir.
That's awesome.
I love it. I love it.
General Haig.
I had not known about that one.
Oh. Yep.
You'll have to deal with me, sir.
Yeah.
Then SPH wraps up his comment with producer John Copeland is a military history buff, and most of the time he was probably the first person who was consulted about the military. In the end, he also handled most of the action scenes while JMS concentrated on character drama. Good comments, SPH.
That's another little detail I did not know.
I didn't either. Had no idea.
At any rate, I want to interrupt here just for a second to mention that Robert Foxworth, who played General Haig, who was off on Deep Space Nine, was actually filming the episodes, Deep Space Nine episodes, Homefront and Paradise Lost, which involved Odo and the changelings and trying to track down the changelings and another bad admiral, so forth and so on. So at any rate, that's what he was up to instead of commanding his task force.
Okay.
I think the major did a fine job standing in for him, though. It was awesome.
Oh, Bruce McGill is awesome.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And folks, we've actually got a little collection of emails here, just a few that are sort of generic, general. And I'm going to take this first one because it's in the middle of our notes, but I'm going to start off with it because it's kind of a bit of a personal. Many of you might are well aware that we had a bit of a hiatus. And this is from John. And he writes, "Hello, I just wanted to drop you a note and mention I stumbled across the Babylon Project podcast a while ago on iTunes and have been enjoying it very much. I downloaded about 20 of the most recent podcasts and started listening." My God, we've done that many. "You two have done an excellent job with the podcast. I have found it to be very enjoyable and full of insightful comments. I currently don't have any friends who are B5 fans. I know I should get new friends. My B5 loving friends moved. So hearing you two chat has been a nice return to the B5 world and the discussions it encourages. But imagine my horror when I suddenly realized there haven't been any new episodes for a while. If it's the will it be renewed or won't it feel from the actual show now in podcast form, I appreciate the realistic return to the 90s, but enough already. I started listening from the beginning, so you have however long it takes me to get through season one and half of season two to get back to it. I kid. Anyway, I just wanted to drop you a line, say I have really enjoyed the podcast and hope everything is well with both of you. Trust me, I understand if life has intruded and prevented any more podcasts from being made. Your fan, John." Well, this was right in the time that my mom had died. I had a lot of serious family issues at home, and was going through a lot. So I'm calling this particular email out because it hit at a time that was toward the end of that row of things, but it still meant a lot to me. It was a lot of encouragement at a time where I needed a lot of encouragement. And I had responded to him that, yeah, we have been busy recording. We had started to build up some episodes and they would be hitting soon. And then John writes back to us, "I'm delighted to hear it, Raul, although I must temper that with my sympathy for your reasons." He continues, "I have been really enjoying my return to the beginning. It's been interesting to see how the cast has evolved and how much of it you guys did well right out of the gate. I'm working on getting caught up so I can listen to the new cast in a more real-time manner so I can offer timely comments and feedback rather than being months out of sync. Keep up the good work and pass my support along to Jim."
Jim.
Oh,
John.
Jim. Thank Jim. You very much. Yeah. Hey, I'll tell you what. You know, you think it was really good before we have added JP, and the best is yet to come.
The effect has been multiplicative, not additive.
Yeah.
It's not 1 + 1 + 1 = 3. It's three cubed.
You guys are too kind.
Ah.
But John, I do hope we'll hear more from you in the future too. And like I said, you were encouragement at a time when it was really appreciated. So, someone want to take Evelyn's email?
Sure, I'll grab that one. "Dear Raul and Jim, just wanted to drop you a line and let you know how much I enjoy listening to your show and also to extend condolences to Raul on the death of his mom. I know how devastating the death of a parent can be. I, too, have been a bit out of the loop over the last several months, but one of the few things I look forward to was listening to your show whenever a new one came up on my podcast feed. I look forward to hearing your thoughts on season 3, as I always thought this is when things really begin to heat up. We live for the one, we die for the one, but not today."
Not today.
From Evelyn Raymond. Thank you.
I've got to say, Jim, you and I started this mostly as an act of love. I mean, we were just fans of the show. We hijacked the sci-fi diner and popped that out, and this sprung out of it. We're still doing it as an act of love for the show. And it just blows me away that we get feedback
it's really
like
nice.
That. Mm-hmm. JP, you get to wrap us up with the last one from Aaron.
So Aaron Mackham, I guess. Aaron, if I didn't get your last name right, I apologize. Aaron writes, "Hello, love the show. I covered all of B5 on my podcasting sci-fi dig. I found your show, and I love it. It's about time for a rewatch of the series. The show has been a favorite since I discovered it, and it has made a profound image on my brain. If ever you need a guest host, I'm your guy. Keep up the good work, and I'll keep on listening. No boom today." Excellent.
Nope, no boom today, but of course we always know there's I can't do that yet. We're not quite at the end. I am going to give your show a look up and a listen to. And always like feedback. Gents, any thought? Any comments?
No.
No.
I am eagerly looking forward to getting back to recording regular shows though.
Oh, too much ad lib?
Oh no. No, we're moving right along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're back half of season 3 is going to be pure madness.
Pure awesome.
That too. We've just sort of taken a huge change in direction with the trilogy, with that mid-season trilogy with the separation from Earth. And let's just say it's going to have obviously huge ramifications in the direction and everything that the show takes.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, gentlemen, general thoughts and comments.
Just keep those cards and letters coming in.
Yeah. I love doing the feedback episodes. Well, JP started out with feedback.
Yeah.
To a degree, I thought. I think did you on Twitter?
That's how I exposed myself, so to speak. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, consistent with some of the comments that we got so far for this season, I'm pretty sure I said this to one or the both of you guys at one point before I had ever even come on. This podcast, to me, listening to it, being a B5 fan, listening to this podcast after, like you said, you hijacked an episode on another podcast, I felt like listening to you guys talk, that you were a couple guys sitting around the kitchen table or out on the porch or something, and both had just watched an episode, whatever the episode would be, and you're just talking about it.
I remember you saying that.
This was neat. I didn't like that. Mm-hmm. I wonder where this is going. It felt like that to me. And it sounds like we have a few listeners that sort of envision the same thing. And so I am so glad that you guys and the listeners would have me pull a chair up to that same kitchen table. And I hope we come across that way to others. It's made the podcast special to me. We're a bunch of buddies just talking about a shared passion.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what we were shooting for with this. You know, and I don't know if you're even aware of this, JP, but our original format was much tighter scripted. You know, it was this section, this section, this section, this section. And gosh, it didn't last very long that we did it, Jim.
No, it's way more fun to just visit.
Yeah. I mean, we've got our show notes, but they're just sort of general outline of
thoughts. To keep us straight on what is happening on the show as we take it apart, break it down, give our own thoughts on it, philosophical points of view or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And it keeps us from chasing too many or too far down.
Yeah, because we can always say that it's not a this podcast, it's a something else podcast.
So, yeah, folks, we love you. And that kind of feedback that we get just tickles us pink. So any closing thoughts?
No, that's only the third time you've asked that.
Is it?
Yeah.
This has been a long day. It's been a long year, and the year's almost over.
Oh, I know.
And there's more to come.
Yep. Oh, I do have a closing thought. I've got to say, I play a video game called Destiny, and I am actually playing the version 2 thing of Destiny. I've had conversations with other folks on the side about, you know, there is definitely some crossover. There's some stuff in Destiny that really gives a hint that these guys were Bab 5 fans. A couple of the races, the Awoken really, and their fighter, the Awoken fighter, really matches the Mimbari. The Fallen and the Narn, the Cabal and the Centauri, the Taken and Shadows. Well, I'll tell you what, I just got a ship this afternoon. It looks so much like a Star Fury that it's not funny.
Oh.
It is definitely. I'm going to have to share this one with you, JP, because I know you play a little bit of Destiny yourself. Yeah. So, yeah, you find Babylon 5 fans in all the strangest places.
As it should be.
As it should be. Well, that said, no boom today.
No boom today. But there's always boom tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yep. Well,
and when we're out of the feedback mode, there was going to be some boom.
Oh, yeah.
That's coming.
Well, there it is.
Good night, all. Jim, you're supposed to say good night, JP.
Oh, say good night, JP.
Good night, JP. And happy holidays, everyone.
Yes.
Yes.
Podcast terminated.
Thank you for listening to the Babylon Project podcast. You can email Raul and Jim at the Babylon Project podcast at gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at the Babylon Project podcast. On the internet, we are at babylonprojectpodcast.wordpress.com. To subscribe to the podcast, you can find us on iTunes, or you can subscribe to the RSS feed on the webpage.